Next, we'll hear a presentation on the quarterly portfolio report by Merrill Lynch, presented by John Hollis, Chief Financial Officer, and Jeff Hewlett of Merrill Lynch.
Thank you again. I'd like to present, introduce Jeff Hewlett and Paul Harvey from Merrill Lynch to provide the quarterly report on our investment.
If you will, we'll be speaking from this presentation booklet. Paul and I always look forward to giving the board an update, particularly in the times when the portfolio is performing well. If you would, please turn to page 14. In the blue box at the center of the page, at the lower portion of the center of the blue box, you'll see the current value of the portfolio. To give you a little bit of a perspective, the last time we were here giving you an update, the value of the portfolio was $22,476,000. The current value as of Friday with the market moves is $24,376,000. If you'll also take a look at the pie charts, first the one on the left, you can see the transition of the portfolio from September 30th to the reporting period of 30 November. We're within our tolerance as far as the investment policies. We're actually in the fixed income. It indicates that we're about 2% below what we should be in that range. The fixed income is 30 to 50%. Actually, that has already been corrected through the purchase of fixed income. If you'd like to view the historical progress of the portfolio over time, you can turn to pages 38 through 39, and we have that recorded there. And the inception date is since Private Investors has had the portfolio, which is May of 2000. On page 40, we had one request if we would share with the board the beta of the portfolio. So you can see the beta portfolio is 1.08. And the significance of the beta, it gives us the systematic risk of the portfolio or the volatility. And, to the investor, the systematic risk shows the portfolio or individual stocks, if you break it down to that level, to give the investor an idea of how the portfolio will react to whatever market index it's associated with. And we have on that page the index is 65% S&P 500. The Lehman Brothers, which is another bench that is established through the investment policy to us, and we add the 5% U.S. Treasuries for 1 to 90 days, because we do always have a certain amount of money in the money market. For just some information purposes, if you're not familiar with the beta, it's constructed from the historical pricing of individual securities over a given period of time. What's important to know as well, if you're interested in beta and you try to identify beta of individual securities, different institutions, whether it be Value Line or market or even different institutions, you'll see a little bit of variation. It's based on the parameters in which they've set or the period in which they're measuring the price fluctuation of certain securities. What's the real importance of the beta for us is in our case we have 1.08. Our expectation or what we would forecast the portfolio to do is to participate slightly better than the market, whether it be up or down. One would be the same correlation. So when monitoring or developing portfolios, it's a significant statistic, along with many other statistics, which we show here as well, that helps in portfolio management selection. If there's any questions concerning the beta, be glad to address that.
Beta was my request, and I'm very pleased. Thank you.
Yes, sir. With that, if there's no questions for me, I'll let Paul give the market outlook and overall portfolio.
All right. Thank you. In the past, a lot of times we'll go over the outlook and dig into the portfolio review. I'm going to reverse that this year, and we've just gotten Bob Dahl's most recent outlook and top 10 predictions for the coming year. So we'll start out really with portfolio review. Back close to where you were with Jeff on page 14, I would ask that you flip back the prior page, page 13, just to review the investment objective that we're using for the portfolio. It is a balanced investment objective where we have both bonds and stocks. The bond component, we have a benchmark, is made up of a Maryland Corporate Government Bond Index, which is, we also have, I think, in there, and the performance reporting shows the lean aggregate. These are two bond indexes that are very, very similar. Basically, it's high-quality, intermediate corporate government bonds. For the equity portion, we use the S&P 500 as the benchmark. Jeff went over the allocation with you. Again, we had some bonds mature, so on the snapshot as of the end of November, we're showing 28% fixed income. That's up around 32% right now. We are up toward the upper end of our target for the equities, about 64%. We've had pretty good appreciation there. So we continue to monitor that and pare it back a little bit as appreciation takes it above 65%. But the overall positioning is an overweight in stocks relative to bonds because we think that is where the best value is. And based on our outlook, where we want to have the most participation. The following page, page 15, shows a breakdown of the top 10 holdings. And as you'll see, the largest total we have is in the equity portion is Hewlett Packard, a little over 3%. We tend not to have much larger weightings in any one individual issue. As they start getting up to this area, then we'll start pairing those positions back. Again, just a sampling of the top 10 stocks. It shows you this is a high-quality portfolio, and that's the space we're investing in. Next page is our sector allocation. This is always probably the most important page that I'll direct your attention to each meeting for the equity portion of the portfolio. This shows, based on our outlook, which stocks, which groups of stocks we feel are going to do the best in the coming year. This, again, is a snapshot as of the end of November for your reporting purposes. But it gives you an idea of when we get to performance, we've had a pretty good year of performance, where that performance came from. You'll see that we have an overweighting in the energy stocks. Everybody's familiar with what energy has done in oil prices. This has certainly helped our performance. We continue to have an overweight there and feel like oil prices will stay persistent at high for the next 12 months. We also had an overweighting in technology. This helped our performance this past year. We've been positioned for a growing economy. We continue to have that growth. While it's slowing down some, the stock market continues to reward those sectors that benefit from a growing economy. One area that's that we've highlighted, I guess, our ability for Bob Dahl to add value in terms of stock selection is the healthcare area. If you follow pharmaceutical stocks, most of you know they have not done well at all this last year. We had an overweight in healthcare, but our overweight has been in managed care. It has not been in pharmaceuticals. He's been underweight there. So while you, on the surface, you might think that healthcare has underperformed this past year, our stock selection in managed care has really added to our portfolio performance. And we continue to have that area overweighted. We continue to be underweight pharmaceuticals for the time being. Any other questions about the sector allocation? All right, the next page gets into the fixed income positioning and allocation. Where we really try to add value in this particular sector is based on our outlook for interest rates being either shorter term, if we think rates are going to be rising, or longer term than the benchmark, if we think rates are going to be falling. We have been shorter than the benchmark duration and average maturity. We continue to be right now. The average duration is 3.92 years. The average maturity of our bond portfolio is 5.95 years. And if you see on the box on the bottom right-hand side, the average maturity for the benchmark is 7.2 years. So we continue to feel like there could be some upward pressure on interest rates. We have started lengthening our maturity a little bit, and that we feel like while the Fed has been raising rates throughout this past year, we're probably toward the end of that cycle. And as they stop raising rates, then the longer-term rates probably will not go much higher. The next page is page 18. This is our performance. As far as the overall markets this past year, Bob Dolan called for a muddling crew environment. That's really what we ended up with for the markets. Stocks were up about 5%, cash up about 3%, bonds up about 2%. So really a do-nothing type of year, a transition year, which is consistent with a mid-cycle slowdown. However, we've been able to have pretty good performance this past year. This shows through the end of November, year-to-date, total portfolio is up 9.5%. I'm on the bottom box, the long box, second to the left-hand column. So year-to-date numbers, 9.51% for the total portfolio. A lot of this is driven by the equity portion. Equities were up 14.51%. The same time period, the S&P 500 was up only 4.89%. So, again, we had significant outperformance in our equities. The full year came in about the same. I think the market was up around 5%, and the equities in your portfolio were up a little under 15%. So, again, very good year, I think, this past year in a tough market. This brings our two-year and three-year annualized numbers up above benchmark. If you go across, you can look at the three-year annualized, and now I'm on the third to the right-hand column. 3 years annualized, total portfolio is at 9.52%. And the comparative benchmarks for the total portfolio are those bottom two rows, which is indicated by 60% stock, 40% bond allocation. They were both up 8.9% and 9.09%. So we feel pretty good about where we've been over the last 12 to 18 months since Bob Dahl has come in and started running the portfolio. He's done a very good job. And what I thought I would do, I can answer any questions about the portfolio. And if there are none, then I'll get into his outlook for this coming year. But let me stop for just a minute and see if there's any questions. All right, I'll try to run through this fairly quickly. What we're looking for, his first prediction is the economy continues to slow down to about 3% growth. But keep in mind, that is a growing economy. We're in this mid-cycle slowdown. The Fed has been raising rates consistently over the last year. We feel like they're toward the end of that cycle, but they're doing that for a reason. They're doing that to slow the economy down. We feel like it is starting to take effect. The bad news is the economy is slowing. The good news is they're probably close to the end of raising rates. And further good news is the economy is still growing, so we're not are not concerned about any kind of recession. This has been pretty impressive performance in light of the higher interest rates as well as high oil prices. So what we are seeing is pretty good strength in the U.S. economy. We feel like once the pressure's taken off of the rising interest rates, then we'll be set to have further growth in the economy. And toward the end or the second half of this year, we're looking for better equity performance. We do feel, however, near term, and his second prediction is that we're going to have earnings come in below consensus. So you may start to see on the news some earnings disappointments. Analysts come out and they have expectations overall for double-digit growth in earnings. We feel like it's more likely to be in about 7 to 8% growth. So what that means is that you're going to have, you know, headline items that XYZ company does not meet expectations. That stock may be affected at that time. With that in mind, you're going to have a tougher environment for stocks the first part of the year. Now, we've started off pretty strong, but as we get into some of these disappointments, that may be the trigger for a little bit of a correction in the equity markets, which we've not seen in the last 12 to 18 months. That is one of his other predictions, is that we're going to have about a 10% correction in equity prices at some point this year. Again, this is not abnormal for this part of the economic cycle. The Fed started raising rates going back to the bottom of the bull market in 2002. They're trying to slow the economy down. As they become successful in doing so, then you have earnings disappointments to a degree, a slower economy, and that may be accompanied by somewhat of a short-term pullback in stock prices. We think that's going to set the stage for the second half of the bull market. When that comes, nobody knows exactly. We think sometime this year. So right now, things look pretty good. Earnings are coming in above expectations. In many cases, that may start the trend may turn a little bit either later in this quarter or the second quarter. So we would not be surprised to see that happen. The other thing he's looking for is an inverted yield curve at some point this year. Now, what that means is that shorter-term rates rise above longer-term rates. That has been a pretty good predictor of a significant slowdown, if not a recession. We do not think we're going to go into recession based on that, but we would not be surprised. Again, this is kind of headline news that comes out when you see the interest rates or the yield curve is inverted, short-term rates above long-term rates. The bears of the market are going to say this is going to cause a recession. We don't think that's the case. We just think that there's been continued downward pressure on long-term rates. We don't think that inflation is a factor, so that's going to keep long-term rates down. And with the Fed raising rates, it would not surprise us to see short-term rates temporarily go above long-term rates. That may lead to the Fed starting to ease after that to get the curve back to a more normal environment where short-term rates are lower than long-term rates again. But having an inverted yield curve is something we expect sometime this year. In terms of stocks and how they'll react to this, we do think that this year large cap stocks will outperform small cap stocks, and we think that growth stocks may outperform value stocks. Now, your portfolio is invested primarily in large cap stocks. We've had a real good year this last year, even though they have not been the leaders in the overall market. We think that while that has been a headwind for a lot of large cap managers, and it was for us this past year, we had a decent performance, this could turn around and be more of a tailwind, and the type of stocks we're invested in this portfolio will outperform the overall market. In terms of growth versus value, this is a core portfolio, so we have both growth and value stocks in the portfolio. It gives us the ability to shift one direction or the other based on what the outlook is. So we have a little bit of a bias towards growth in the portfolio versus value. We do not, however, think there's going to be a significant outperformance in growth versus value or value versus growth over the next 3 to 5 years. We've had that environment when we're in a bear market. Value really outperformed growth for a significant period of time for the last 3 or 4 years. We think that it's going to shift now, but we don't think it's going to be necessarily a period where growth outperforms value by a significant amount over the next 3 to 5 years. We do, however, have the ability to shift the portfolio and take advantage of those trends when we see them. We feel like the U.S. dollar is going to start declining again. It's been pretty strong against other currencies because of the rising interest rates. As the Fed comes to the end of that tightening curve, then it would be more normal for other currencies to start picking up versus the dollar. This could help international markets continue to outperform the U.S. markets. That was the case this past year. We think this year that there's a good chance that international markets will outperform the U.S. markets again, which would be, I think, the fifth year in a row. So that would be another outlook we've had. And finally, I didn't go through all 10 of the predictions, but I'm hitting on the high points that affect your portfolio. And the final thing is we think that you'll continue to have high dividend increases, share buybacks, and merger and acquisition activity. Companies or stock performance could continue to do pretty well based on the significant cash that's held by corporations. The economy this year is going to be driven more by the companies than by the consumer. The consumer has been hurt by the higher interest rates and the higher energy prices, but we do think that with the cash on the balance sheets, this will help corporate earnings overall and will enable them to have to raise their dividends, increase their share buybacks, and then encourage more merger and acquisition activity. Those are all my prepared comments, and I would answer any questions about our outlook as well as the individual portfolio.
Anyone have questions?
I have one question. I'm not a member of the committee, but I just wanted to ask you a question about the TXU Corporation.
Yes, sir.
On page 26, I noticed we have 6,720 shares of stock in TXU. We're also getting ready to issue a large amount of bonds on behalf of TXU, and I would just like to hear your comments about that corporation, and I assume they're in excellent condition or you wouldn't be recommending them for an investment. Do we need to make a note of that in any way due to our activity on the bond issuance?
As far as making a note of it, are you concerned about holding the stock in the portfolio while you're...
Yes. Do we need to make any kind of disclosures about that?
I don't think there's any need in regards to later in the presentation we're talking about TXU's request is to issue stock for bonds.
Yeah.
I don't believe there being any correlation. That's on completely on their debt. We don't have any obligation on those bonds in our standpoint from a liability standpoint.
I understand that. I just was wondering if there was any obligation on our part to disclose that to anyone.
I would not think so. I will, as you bring up the point, we are able to restrict this portfolio if there are any particular companies that you feel may be a conflict and that you would want to exclude from the portfolio. We can do that at any time, so that's something that probably you as a board would have to decide if there's concerns there, but we could make whatever adjustments we needed to take care of that.
Thank you.
Right.
Any other questions?
I would make note that during the meeting, Director Baker, Director Gere, and Director Kilgore came in during the meeting, joined us, and with no other business before this committee, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
Motion is second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.